Hey everybody, Josh Peck here of Josh Peck Disclosure. I am here at the absolutely beautiful DFW Hilton Hotel in Dallas, Texas for the Hear the Watchman Conference. I'm going to be teaching a workshop on Sunday, which if I have this planned out, if I'm actually thinking about this right, that's today for you. I'm recording this on Friday night because I'm not going to have another chance, I don't think. Christina and I are going to try to do some videos together this week from the hotel room here, but we had to bring our kids, so they make it kind of difficult. So right now, Christina and our very good friend Sandy, thank you so much, Sandy, you are a lifesaver. They have the kids at the pool, so they're out of here for a little while, which gives me some peace, which is nice. I let Christina have the day. We've been kind of running the table here at the conference interchangeably. So I took this morning, she took the afternoon. Tomorrow we might switch. We'll see how it goes. But this is her actual first speaking event. She's actually going to be speaking this time, and she's going to be talking about healthy living and the stuff that's that she covers on her YouTube channel, which if you haven't had a chance to do so, make sure to find it and subscribe. And also, if you haven't had a chance to do so, subscribe here. Now, I wanted to talk about what I'm actually going to be talking about at the conference, because I usually do videos like this because, for one thing, I think that it gives you guys a little bit of incentive to subscribe because you get to see stuff early whenever I write a new presentation. And every time I do a conference, unless I'm specifically asked to do one of my other talks, I'll write a new talk for it every time. I don't like to do the same thing over and over again. People pay good money to be here. They travel from really all over the country and all over the world. So I like to bring new information to the table. But one of the benefits of subscribing here, and especially if you follow me on Steam, it is that you get to get a preview of this stuff early. It helps me kind of run through what I have. It helps me fine-tune some things. Also helps me spell check. but it also helps to get some feedback from you guys. So I've done this plenty of times before, and I enjoy it. So I'm going to be talking about modern ministry success, what it means to actually be successful in ministry online. Does that just mean making money? Is it okay to even make money if you're going to do online ministry? But even if you want to just get a book out or a DVD, make a movie, a CD, or even if you just want more of a following on Facebook, any of that kind of stuff. I'm actually putting together a book right now called Digital Christianity, where I'm going to be really getting into everything on how I was able to do it. And it's not an ego kind of deal. It's just, in a matter of 3 or 4 years, I went from literally just nothing. I mean, I was collecting a disability check in Michigan in a $300 trailer that I couldn't afford with Christina and everything. We came from literal nothing to, in just a couple of years, working at Skywatch. Many of you have been with us since the beginning. So I want to be able to give some of that back. And I want to be able to talk about that. I'm going to run through this really fast, but if you haven't had a chance to do so, go to joshpeckdisclosure.com and make sure you subscribe to this channel at joshpeckdisclosure.com. You'll get all sorts of free material that's updated daily. That's right, free content every day. More content than you'll know what to do with. It's all good stuff, and we're adding more. But one of my one of the pages that I suggest, I was about to say one of my favorite pages, but that doesn't really sound that good, for obvious reasons. But I should say one of the most helpful pages is the donate page. If you could click on that donate page and help me out, that would be phenomenal. I've said in other videos that I want to get some more equipment, and somebody actually asked like what a goal list would be, what certain goals would be, because it might help. Well, unfortunately, this stuff is really expensive, but the good thing is there's always deals, so it's hard to know for sure. The main thing off the bat is I really want to get some better video and audio equipment for you guys, because right now I'm just using a little Panasonic thing. At some point, I want to get a better computer to edit on, because as many of you know who have been following these lately, it will shut down just on its own, and that a lot of times when I'm trying to record videos, which is why I've been recording videos on the camera instead of on the computer. It's a whole thing. But I might not even need a new computer. It might just be a matter of getting an external hard drive, which that's a couple hundred bucks, just the external hard drive, depending. But again, I mean, there's always deals. The camera could be anywhere, depending on what deal I can find. For the one that I'd like to get for you guys, it would be about $2,000, and that's with the deal. Originally, it'd be $5,000 to $10,000. Now that's far off. You know, I'm not looking for that right now. Right now, I'm just looking for just something that'll shoot good video, you know, something that's better than this. And then audio quality, because a lot of people listen to the podcast, and I want to be able to give them a better audio experience. So I'm going to be consulting with Derek Gilbert on what the best audio setup would be, because that's totally his wheelhouse. But I'm sure that'll probably be a couple hundred, few hundred thousand. It's hard to know for sure. But for everything, just to get this started to where I think this channel could be, we're at least looking at a couple thousand dollars, maybe a few thousand. So, and I know that's a lot. It's still a lot for me. And that's why I say, if you can't donate financially, I understand. But you can donate your time. If you're watching this, you could donate your time by sharing this video with your friends and family. That always helps. If you can, and if you believe in what we're doing on this channel, then that would be great if you could donate financially. Also, if you go to Josh Peck Disclosure, I also have a lot of books for sale and things like that. So I want to get all that out of the way. Now, how can you be successful? Because, you know, I like I said before, and it's not an ego deal. I'm not saying, oh, look at me, look what I did, because this is all God. You know, there's nothing to do with me. This is all Jesus. So maybe I got to imagine that there, because I get emails like this all the time, that a lot of you out there feel God calling you and asking you to do things, maybe write a book or speak on TV or something like that. The first thing is to make sure that it's actually God and not yourself. You know, it's a common goal to want to be on TV, and there's nothing wrong with that. You have a big outreach that way, but there's also a lot of people who I think feel like they were called at least at one time into TV, who maybe shouldn't be on TV because they need to spend some time getting their theology straight, like a lot of megachurch pastors and things like that. Not all of them, certainly not all of them, maybe not even most, but the ones that are like that get the most publicity. So that's something to watch out for. But why this topic? Again, it's something that a lot of people have asked me privately and in emails, and they're asking me the same thing. You know, how can I do what you did? And again, it's a precursor to a new book, the working title being Digital Christianity, The Latest Tips and Tactics Showing How Anyone Can Be Successful in Modern Online Ministry. And what I mean successful, we'll define what that means, but that doesn't mean rich. I'm not preaching a prosperity deal here. Because if you're getting into Christian ministry thinking you're going to be rich, you have made a mistake. It's not going to happen. Hence why I even opened it up for donations to get new equipment and stuff. I am putting my own money into it, but I don't have enough. So anyway, but that's okay, because this actually is good community building. You know, when we come together as a community towards a goal, we can do some amazing things, and then all of you have a part in it too. And I do listen to you guys when it comes to feedback and things. So, but also the modern world needs you to be successful more than you need you to be successful. The thing is, there's a lot of people who don't have the truth out there. There's a lot of people who are cultural Christians. They call themselves Christians, but don't really know what it means. So we need more actual, real Christians, waking those people up. And it's not a dig on them. You know, we should be showing them love, but also kind of being, you know, a little tough in saying, well, you know, look, this is what the Bible says. So if you're going to claim the name Christianity, this is what you should believe and how you should behave. But the world defines success most commonly by the amount of money that any given venture brings in. And in the context of ministry, now that can be an important part of it, of course, but it should never be the main focus. Money should not be the main focus. Teaching an unbelieving world about Jesus Christ through love, through our own personal love for an unbelieving world, that needs to be the main focus. So included in that is building up your own personal relationship with Jesus, and then you can learn how to be loving towards others. So you're going to have your own personal personal path of growth that you're going to go along too. And that's really important to the process. Now, is it wrong to make money? Absolutely not, you know, because money itself isn't the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So we need to understand what money actually is meant to be, what it should be. It's a tool that's needed in order to survive and provide for your family and spread the message even further. Now, there are ways that you could do this without bringing in any money if it's just a total charitable thing, but even that costs money. Like, say you wanted to write a book. You know, I've been criticized for selling books before, and people have told me that I'm selling the gospel, which we'll get into in a minute. It still costs money to print those books. Because there's no charity that's doing that for free, right? So it still costs money. You're gonna at least be paying, you know, a few dollars per book, even. So that's important to keep in mind. You got to fund it somehow. So if money is the main goal, if you're thinking, you know, I could get rich doing this, which I don't think anybody who's seriously considering Christian ministry, especially in the fringe Christian arena, I don't think anybody's really thinking that. But if it was, Christian ministry is not a good choice, because not only for moral reasons, but also because if you go into this expecting to get rich, you're going to be very disappointed. And that's not a complaint. It's not even saying that I'm necessarily, I've been poorer in life. You know, I've been more poverty stricken in life than I am now, but I certainly don't have the money that I do bring in takes care of my family and myself. You know, my family first, and any extra that I get, I pour back into this. I pour into what I do for you guys, and so it's not much, but it's sufficient, and there's enough of you guys that are interested, even with this low quality equipment, or lower quality equipment, I should say, to keep it going. So I appreciate that. Also, donations just help pay the bills, and I mean any of that kind of stuff. It helps with that too. But now, how do we make money without selling the gospel? Because that's something that, you know, I've been accused of. I think anybody in Christian ministry has been accused of. We do it by selling products, not information. You don't sell information. All right. So if you release the book or a DVD, you could start up free podcasts. You could make your own YouTube videos like I do here for free. Every video I'm telling you how on joshpeckdisclosure.com there's free content, because it is. It's free. You don't have to pay me anything. You don't have to donate. I'd like it if you did. I think it would be nice, but you don't have to. There's no accountability there. But I provide all that for you for free because it's information. Now, that does take time. It does take money for me to do that, but I'm not going to sell you. I'll sell you products that contain information, but if you want the information and can't afford the product, you'll be able to get that for free through various other means, like podcasts that I do, or interviews, or YouTube videos, or things like that. So you can make your own YouTube videos, you can accept invitations, or even ask to be invited for interviews based on what you're writing about, or whatever you're interested in. Another way is that you should be open to answer questions if people send emails, private messages, or comments online. So if somebody, I don't normally do this on YouTube because I've explained it in other videos, but I don't trust YouTube. I don't know what's real. I don't know who's asking a genuine question and who's a troll. Usually trolls will just leave an anonymous comment, but if somebody actually takes the time to email me or write me a private message on Facebook where there at least is some accountability there, then I'm going to pay more attention to them. Or if you reply to me on Steemit, if you ask me something on Steemit, because it's more personal. And on Steemit, I know that you're a real person because you kind of got to jump through some hoops to even join Steemit. So it's harder for bots and things to get involved. So if somebody messages me or leaves me a reply on a video on Steemit, I'm going to answer that for sure. So if you're wanting to get into this, that's something you should keep in mind, is people are going to have questions. We live in a world full of people with questions, and they're going to come to you for some answers. You also got to be really comfortable with the phrase, "I don't know." If you don't know something, just tell somebody that you don't know and then go and try to find the answer. Or direct them to somebody who might know because it's their area of expertise. You don't want to BS people, because they're going to see through it. And also it's just wrong. You know, if somebody's coming to you and they're being vulnerable enough to actually ask you a question that's bothering them, taking a risk that maybe you'll think that they're stupid or something. I mean, there's a risk involved when you ask somebody a question. If they're taking the time and being brave enough to do that, you owe them an honest answer. And if the honest answer is, I don't know, well, then so be it. That's still an honest answer, and you're not hurting them. You're not doing them a disservice. You'd be doing a disservice if you lied. Like a lot of you have asked me questions. If I come back and just try to BS my way through it, you know, that doesn't help you out at all, and it doesn't make me look good. So whatever reason there would be for people to do that, and unfortunately a lot of people do, it falls flat. So it doesn't help. So what I'll do is I'll just say, I don't know. Here's somebody who might know. You could try them. Or I might say, you know, I don't know, let me look into that and get back with you in a few days or a week or something. But usually I can direct somebody, I can direct the person who's asking to somebody who would know better than I would in any given area of expertise. Now, you also got to be aware that no matter what you do, you will be accused of only doing it for the money by random anonymous people online. So ignore the trolls. I get these in almost every video I do, because every single video I ask for donations, because this channel is donation-based. I put my own money into it, I don't have enough to do what I think some amazing things that can be done. So if we all come together as a community, we can build this channel into something great. Now there's give and take, because if I'm taking donations, then I sure better listen to what you have to say, and I better listen to your suggestions. Like the other day, somebody gave me the suggestion about trying to give a list of goals of things that that I would want for the channel, and I'm open to feedback on that. By the way, I didn't come up with that list on my own. That's based on what the feedback that I've gotten from my audience. You know, people will say things either about the video quality or the audio quality, and they're very valid criticisms. So I want to correct that, and then also research materials and things like that. So I do listen to you guys. And if I'm accepting money from you, I had better, because I'm providing you a service. You're not serving me. I'm the one that's supposed to be serving you. And if you're wanting to get into Christian ministry, then you got to have that attitude too. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Your audience doesn't serve you. You know, there's little ways where if they really want to, they can help you out. You know, they can sort of be the servant. But ultimately, if you're in Christian ministry, it's because you want to serve other people. You want to help other Christian brothers and sisters, or you want to help the unbelieving world, or both. But you want to be the servant. So that's me. But you're going to be accused, so you need to know how to ignore the trolls. So where do you start? Social media of any kind, you know, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, it's a good place to start in building an audience, because that's where most people are. But there is an ongoing push from these companies to shut down and silence Christians and conservatives. So alternate platforms may need to be explored, such as Themet, DTube, Minds. I don't really know, excuse me one second, I don't really know as much about Minds, but I've heard good things, so I want to look into that more. So, also find out what your first goal for a product is, such as, do you want to write a book? Do you want to produce a DVD? Do you want to make a CD? Or even Christian-themed jewelry and all-natural products, like my wife Christina does. She's going to be talking about that in the workshop as well, and we've talked about that on this channel. We'll do more of that, too. So it depends on what your first goal, what you actually want to do. You know, my specialty is in writing books, because that's what I got started. That's kind of the backbone of what I do. I've got a tiny bit of experience in doing DVDs and CDs and things like that, but writing is where the thing that I know really about. Let me get a drink of water real quick. Give me 1 second here. Okay, sorry about that. I've kind of noticed when I do these videos, you know, my throat gets dry, so a lot of times when I'm in my basement or whatever doing these videos, I'll just take a drink on camera, and I've kind of thought about that, and I'm wondering if that comes across as gross to some people. Like I personally never care if I'm watching a video and somebody does it, but then again, I don't really know. So I thought at least for this one, I would just experiment with going off camera for a second. Of course, I could just edit it out, I suppose, but anyway, some authenticity is good, too. So, for example, you find out what your first goal is. If you want to make a DVD, so first focus on developing a YouTube following, or maybe even DTube or Vimeo or Patreon or some other video thing. But YouTube is still, at least until the tide shifts, if it does, YouTube still kind of the go-to for anything video. So try to develop a YouTube following. You can make short videos every day if you can. That's what I do. That's what I'm doing here. But Facebook, Twitter, and others can be utilized as well to share your videos, but YouTube should be primary. And that also works if you want to produce a CD. It actually works if you want to produce books. I write books, but I also really like doing these little videos every day. So that helps. It helps me have a conversation with you guys, because a lot of you guys provide me good feedback. So it kind of helps the thinking process. Now, if you want to write a book, you should focus more on blogging, writing articles, and Facebook to build your audience. Other things can be used as well, but writing should be the main focus. It'll help keep you practiced, and you'll pick up some good skills. You got to be open to listening to feedback. Sometimes you're going to have to develop a thick skin, because sometimes people can be a little brutal about it. But even if everybody's being a jerk, but they're all saying like the same thing, and it's something you can improve on, you should listen to it. So how do you get noticed? You should take as much advice as you can from others who have already done or are doing what you'd like to do. So one way to get connected with others in ministry is to start a podcast, or through Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, something like that, or a Skype video interview show, or Google Hangouts or something that connects right into YouTube. You can do that on YouTube, DTube, something like that. Most authors and filmmakers will be happy to answer your questions, because you're helping them promote their product. They'll be happy to answer your questions after you help them promote their book or movie or whatever it is. So wait till after the interview to do it. Promote their thing first, and then after the interview, you can say, hey, you know, do you got a couple minutes? I'd love to ask you a couple questions if I could. You know, I'm trying to do something similar to what you've done. You're doing it really well, and I'd like to get some advice. You know, I'll just take 2-3 minutes of your time. Don't take too much of their time, because everybody's super busy. But most people will be happy to answer your questions. Actually, when I first started out, I took this tactic with the Sharpening Report. Most of you who follow this channel know that I started the Sharpening Report a few years ago, and that's how I got connected with a lot of other authors. And it really did help, because a big part of why I am where I am today is through the connections that I made doing that show. So it really can help. Even Derek Gilbert before we worked together, before I ever thought that I would write a book with him someday, like I just recently did, he was giving me advice on audio equipment and things. So most of these guys are happy to help. Now, what you don't want to do, don't immediately start asking them to do things for you. Wait until the offer. So you don't want to say, like, here's a good example. If anybody asks me, and I don't know, if I don't know who they are, don't have any past kind of relationship with them, or even if it's somebody who might have asked a question once before, but if somebody that I don't really know, and the first thing that they ask is, hey Josh, can you get my book to Tom Horn? I'm immediately turned off. You know, because it sets a bad precedent. It puts forth a bad image on that person, because it makes it seem like, okay, the only reason that you're talking to me isn't because you're interested in what I have to say about anything. It's my connections, you know, with Tom Horn or with somebody who you think can do something for you. That's the only reason. So, you know, I'm not going to be interested in that, because I have too many other people who are actually interested in what I have to say, and I want to give my time to them because they deserve it. You know, like all of you watching, you guys deserve my time more than somebody who just emails me and says, hey, here's my book, can you give it to Tom Horn? Now, if it's somebody who's actually like a close friend, or somebody who I've had a relationship with for a while, or, you know, a good friendship, then that sort of time, you know, usually by then, though, I'll offer. Just to set the record clear, I don't ever offer to give books to Tom. Like, I just don't, because the direction of Skywatch and Defender is more publishing things in-house. But I do like to help people if I can. And for example, Sam Johnston right now, he runs the Sharpening Report. That was something it's not that I didn't want to run it anymore. I just didn't have time to do it effectively. And he's a great guy. He's a great host. And he's somebody that really proved a lot of good work ethic. He really proved himself, which we'll get into in a minute about proving yourself. But he did a phenomenal job with that. And so I offered him the show, and he took it, and he's been knocking it out of the park. He's been doing a phenomenal job, and I am not regretting my decision at all. I mean, he is the host for that show. So, So you want to wait until somebody offers to help. Like, I never asked anybody to get a book in front of Tom Horn, but what ended up happening is I asked Dr. Michael Lake for an interview. I said, hey, I love your book. This was when the Shinar Directive first came out. And I said, I love your book, The Shinar Directive. Would you like to come? I was still hosting The Sharpening Report at this time. I said, would you like to come on The Sharpening Report and do an interview? And I'll do everything I can to make sure people hear about your book, because it's great. And so he came back and he said, actually, yeah, I'm familiar with your work. And you'll start to notice that happens after a little while. People, other researchers and stuff will become familiar with your work. But he's like, I really like your book, Quantum Creation, and I love Cherubim Chariots. And I'll tell you what, if I do an interview on your show, will you do one on mine? So I was like, yeah, great, And I've done that a couple times in the past where, somebody does an interview on my show and I'll do one on theirs. So we did that. He did an interview for Sharpening Report. He did a great job, of course, because he's Dr. Michael Lake. He's a phenomenal individual and really smart, brilliant writer. And then I went on his show. And after the show, once the show was over, usually after you do an interview, you usually have a conversation for 10 or 20 minutes with the host. But he started talking to me about my books and things. And he said, would you do me a favor? And I said, sure, what do you need? And he said, if you can send me two copies of each of your books, would it be okay if I showed them to Tom Horn? I think he would be actually really interested in this. So, of course, I was like, wow, big opportunity. And this was when Skywatch TV was just starting. First episode had just aired. And so I said, yeah, of course. So I sent him free books. I sent him a couple copies of each. He gave them to Tom Horn. Tom liked them. But here's the thing. I didn't ask for it. I waited until somebody offered. Because if you believe what you're doing is for God, God will open those doors. You won't have to ask. Somebody will offer something. Something will happen for you. Even if it might not happen as fast as it did for me, it might take 20 or 30 years. Actually, that's what I thought was going to happen. I thought it was going to take longer. But something will happen. So that happened for me. He offered. And now what wouldn't have worked is if the first time that I talked to Dr. Michael Lake, if the first thing out of my mouth was like, hey, I love your work. Could you give Tom my book for me? I never asked him to, just to see what his response would have been, but I know what my response would have been. My response would have been like, no. No, I'm not going to do it. Because that's the other thing about doing Christian ministry. You're gonna come across a lot of people. They don't want to be ministered to. There's a lot of people that need to be ministered to, and they need that. That's what you're doing it for. You're doing it to serve people who need it. But there are other people who will want to take advantage of that. There are other people who will want you to do stuff for them. And sometimes they'll even hide it as if they're doing something nice for you. Well, I did this nice thing for you, so can't you do this for me now? There's just so many situations like that come up, and you got to be real careful, because most times when people do that, they don't realize they're doing it. Most times. So you got to be real careful about that. So when you're looking for help, or when you're looking for exposure, or you want somebody to help you out, become their actual friend first, and be legitimate about it. Don't go into a friendship thinking I can get something out of this guy someday. Don't do that. Be an actual friend. Be interested in what they have to say. Do that first. That is going to be the path that'll provide well for you. Even if they never offer help, you've got a really good friend. So either way, you win. If you don't do it that way and you do it the other way, which so many people do, then you run the risk of having a bad reputation amongst people who try to help you out. Because we talk to one another. We talk. Usually we don't really get a chance to sit down and really talk unless it's like a conference or something. But I'm just wondering if whoever is outside right now is one of mine. Anytime I hear, you guys at home will know this, if you have kids, if you have little kids, anytime I like hear a kid crying or something, I wonder, is that mine? Are they coming back? I don't think so, because I think they would have been in by now. But anyway, I sort of lost my train of thought, but Start have a real friendship, and that's what you're going to want to do anyway. And the bad reputation thing. It's not like I don't know everything that all the other authors and researchers think about everything. And they don't, not all of them know what I think about everything, but we do kind of talk. I mean, it's not a gossip deal. It's just who else are we going to talk to? We don't want to put we would never want to put our burdens on our audience because that would not be fair. There are some who do that, and they usually lose their audience because you guys don't want to hear that. You guys don't want to hear me. How would you feel like if I just complained for 2 or 3 hours on these videos about how so and so mistreated me in this way, or somebody said this about that, or you don't come to this channel for that, So we most of us never want to put that on our audience. So we just kind of talk to each other and stuff. I mean, it's just like any other friend that you might have. But in that, you do run the risk of having a bad reputation if you're just going from author researcher author research, if you're going from researcher to researcher trying to find somebody that'll do something for you, don't do that. Just have a good friendship. Most of us are open to have, most of us don't have a lot of time for stuff, but we always have room in our heart for another friend. So keep that in mind. That's really important. And again, if they never do offer, if somebody like if you were friends with me and I just never offered anything, that's okay because you can do it on your own. There's no reason that you can't, and it's got to be a God thing. I've actually really only offered to help a handful of people, and most of them it turned out badly. But again, it's not. I think God gives people chances sometimes, and then of their own free will, they can do well with it or they can do poorly with it. So I don't feel bad or wrong about any of those. But at the same time, you don't want to be taken advantage of. So how do you get noticed? Now, a big part of working in ministry is being a team player. This is a big deal, and the most important place to exercise that is on social media, places like YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. It's a big turnoff to others, myself included, and I think pretty much anybody I've ever worked with or talked to who has any type of influence. It's a big turnoff to others who might want to work with you if they see you on Facebook arguing with people all the time. It actually makes you look like that you'd be difficult to work with in real life. I had this in mind when I was first starting out. So what I would do is if I came across like an argument online or if somebody was trying to argue with me, I would either provide a respectful answer, just here's the answer to your question, kind of thing. Or mostly what I would do is I would just block them and never think about them again. A lot of times that if you're being trolled, a lot of times that is the right that's the right move because it only makes them look bad and it only helps you. Because believe me, most employers, I mean, this isn't even a Christian ministry thing. This is just like most employers. They'll go and check the social media of their potential employees to see if they would be a good fit. Any good manager or boss would do that. So of course, I imagine that would happen in social media. I know I do that. Before I offered Sam the job, well, it's not really a job because I don't pay him, but before I offered him, the sharpening report to do what he wants with it, you better believe I was all over his social media because I wanted to know what kind of person he was behind the scenes. When he didn't, when maybe he didn't know anybody would be looking. And it all checked out. It all worked out great. So that's really important. If you want to show yourself as a team player, because if you work in Christian ministry, whether you like it or not, you are on a team. You just are. You're actually in a family. If you're a Christian, you're in a family. But especially if you're writing and researching and doing all this stuff, there's a special type of bond between people who dedicate their lives doing that type of work, because it. Well, there's just a lot that you'll learn along the way of why that is, but it's really special and it is really good. But that's why non-team players, people who don't come across like a team player and they come across more like a lone wolf, that's why they don't really make it or they don't last long because we really rely on each other, us speakers and authors. And again, I've only been doing this a couple of years. But we really rely on each other because there's a lot of challenges that come up that are just unforeseen when getting into this line of work that you need other researchers, other brothers and sisters in Christ who have been there before or are involved in the same thing. You need them, and they need you. That's why I'm doing this video, because I would love to have more people involved in this. So that's important to keep in mind. Now, this will greatly affect if you get invited to be on other shows or even possible future employment opportunities. So you kind of got to prove yourself to be a team player. So how do you prove yourself? My throat's getting a little dry. Give me 1 second. I don't know. Maybe that's more distracting. Maybe it would be better if I just had the glass and I don't know. So how do you prove yourself? Now, you got to realize that starting off, this is some of the best advice I've ever gotten. And actually, believe it or not, I got this from Derek Gilbert. And you would think Derek, you know, nicest guy in the world. And he is. He is legitimately exactly who you see on camera. That's who he is in person. But you would think... This was just really good advice, and I'm glad that he put it the way that he did to me when he first asked, or when I first asked and he first told me. So you got to realize, starting off, no one is going to know who you are, and no one is going to have a reason to listen to anything you have to say. So you have to prove yourself, and don't take that as like an insult or a jab, because it's not. The way that Derek put it to me when I first asked, because I was asking him, you know, how do I get more well known, or more of a, how do I get more of a following? That is my family. Yep. Okay, well, life certainly is interesting, isn't it? So, for those of you following the trajectory of this totally impromptu video, my wife and her friend, they took our kids swimming. I was hoping to get the video done, and don't worry, we are going to finish this video, I promise. We are going to finish it. But I was hoping to get the video done before they returned. They returned before I had a chance to finish the video, so now I am in the bathroom of the hotel finishing the video, because I have a very colicky 2-year-old screaming in the other room, which you guys will probably be able to hear, and I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old watching cartoons. So, it's just, you know, we're going to make this work. We're going to make this work, because you guys are worth it, and I love you. So Christina came back with the kids and everything. So this is the only room that I have left to be able to finish this video. I don't have a tripod, so I'm actually holding the camera up as best as I can. So we're just going to run with it. So if you see me looking down a lot, it's because I have the computer down here. I brought the laptop in here, and I apologize for Adam screaming his head off. Nothing I can do about it. He's got the last 4 teeth coming in, and it's just a nightmare. If it makes you feel any better, I slept maybe 3 hours. Well, no, we'll give it 4 hours, I think, in the past 3 days. So, those of you who have kids will know. Anyway, so let's continue. So how do we prove ourselves? Now, you don't want to just think, from where we left off, to me it was like about an hour ago, but to you it was just a few seconds ago. So in finding your, let me just look back. Okay, so no one will know who you are. No one's going to have a reason to listen. I told you about Derek's advice to me on that. Or maybe I didn't. If I didn't, I'll just go back and recap it real quick. So Derek Gilbert told me, when I first asked him, how do I get a bigger audience? You know, what do I have to do? What did you do? Because at the time, he wasn't even host of Skywatch TV yet, but he had a View from the Bunker, and he was doing very well with it. And he's like, well, you got to understand that, you know, your subject matter counts. What you write about really counts. Because what is going to incentivize people to buy your book over somebody who they already know? You know, a lot of people have their favorite authors and things. So if you go to a bookstore and Stephen King, for example, has a new book, you might be more inclined to buy that than some unknown author. You know, so you have to find something that entices somebody to want to take a chance to pay their money for your book. And so that made a lot of sense. And so, you know, doing interviews and things like that, that really helps in that area. Let me see how much I can turn this without... I wouldn't want to get the toilet or anything in the shot, but well, there's a painting there of a flower. Maybe we can do flower painting. But anyway, so... So, but yeah, he was basically like, you know, as you are right now, as you know, this was a couple of years ago. No one knows who you are, so why would they want to read anything that you have to say? And then I thought, oh, you know, that actually makes a lot of sense. So my first thought on that was, well, I need to come up with something really grabbing, you know, really interesting. And I was corrected on that as well. You don't want to just, you don't want to just come up with the craziest thing that you can think of. It's not going to work that way. You got to make sure that whatever you do, whether you're producing a book, a CD, a DVD, whatever it is, it has to fall in line with the Bible. So you got to prove yourself not only through your attitude, like we talked about before, your behavior on social media, but the information that you provide. I'm really sorry I'm doing this with my arm, so I'm trying to... I wish there was some place I could just put the camera down. So if you do want to provide a book or a DVD, CD, find a unique niche. You know, find something that hasn't been covered very much or maybe not even at all. Or maybe even if it's something that's been covered a lot that you can provide a unique spin on. So I did that with quantum physics. Now, at the time, the only person who had talked about quantum physics is a man I greatly respect, Chuck Missler. He was the only one really talking about it, and it was a big interest of mine. I'm sorry if with all the camera shakingness and stuff. This is probably driving you guys at home crazy. Let me see if there's something we can do here, because this would drive me crazy as well. It's driving me crazy for you guys. Is this a possible solution? I appreciate you guys sticking with me through this, by the way. I'm tempted to just put this on the counter, and maybe I can kneel down and do this. That way, at least, man, I got to really. we're gonna figure this out. Thank you so much. Please don't click off the video. I promise. Once we get this right, I'll power through the rest. Let's see. Is this gonna fall into the sink? Okay, that's that. We can work with that. Oh man. Okay, so I'm kneeling on the bathroom floor, which is tile, and it is killing me. But that's my. Where is it? There we go. That's the suit I'm gonna wear for the workshop. Okay, here we go. We'll make this work. Okay. Now I have my hands I can work with. Okay, so whether you want to produce a book, okay, find a unique niche that hasn't been covered very much or not at all before. But whatever it is, it's got to fall in line with the Bible. That is the most important thing. Because, you know, the culture's kind of waking up today. They're kind of waking up and realizing, you know, a lot of things people say isn't exactly how it is, you know, all the time. You know, people's, you know, just to be kind of a little blunt about it, people's BS meter is getting stronger. So you want to pay attention to that. Make sure that whatever information that you want to provide to people, it falls in line with the Bible. But also make sure that you can explain it well. You don't want to put yourself in a position where the audience has to trust you or take your word for it when you're first starting out. You got to build trust. It takes a while to get there. And even when you feel like you've built trust, you have to continue building that trust. Like with all of you, that's why, you know, if I do an article or something, I'll tell you that, you know, it's online or where you can go, or like on Into the Multiverse, I'll put the link. And so, you know, there's things that you can do. But make sure it falls in line with the Bible. So the Chuck Missler story, the only person at the time that was covering quantum physics was in Christian, fringe Christian stuff, was Chuck Missler. And I really liked it a lot, but a lot of his stuff was so far over my head, because he's absolutely brilliant. His stuff was so far over my head that I had to listen to it a few times. So I started to wonder, is there a way that this stuff can be explained to where I could... you know, listen to it once and then get the main idea. And then if I wanted to go back and learn more, there would be a way to do that. So then I started thinking, well, maybe I could provide that. You know, I really like quantum physics. And so I started doing that. And then my first major release was Quantum Creation. I'm going to see if there's some other position where, because this is absolutely killing me. But let's see what we can do here. All right. Okay, this might work. I'm so sorry, guys. If this was you, I would say this would be a video to just redo. But I think that there might be some people out there who might benefit from knowing that, you know, even us seasoned researchers and video makers, we struggle with things too. Hey, there we go. Well, that kind of works. Let me pull the computer a little bit closer to a point where it's not going to fall. Hey, okay. There we go. But yeah, most important thing is it's your message has got to fall in line with the Bible. Even if you're talking in a totally saturated field like the Nephilim, which has been, you know, I mean, let's be honest, has been done to death. There's a lot of stuff. There still is a place for it, obviously, and you can still do it in a unique way. So that, you know, you don't want to just think of the craziest thing that you can think of and then go with that. You know, God will help you find your niche, whatever your interests are, whatever your audience is going to be. You know, God will help you find that, but you might have to take some time learning. Maybe you even have to self-publish a couple of books first, like I did. You know, my first book was Disclosure, and I didn't know what I was doing. But I did it, and but the problem with Disclosure is I just sat down and wrote a book. That's not the way to do it. You got to have some planning. That went through 6 or 7 revisions or editions, I should say. Revisions isn't even the right word because I had published it immediately, and right off the bat, people caught me. Called me out on some theological issues that were present in the book that I didn't catch, and it was good that they did, but because of that, it ended up getting re-released, you know, 6 or 7 times. It's finally at a place that I think is passable. I think one more just good solid revision would probably serve it well, but I think right now it's a good book that anybody who is just learning about, you know, fringe Christianity, about Nephilim, about, you know, with a demon possession, any of this kind of stuff, I think it's a good resource. So, but you don't want to just think of whatever the craziest conspiracy theory you can is and then go with that. You know, God will help you find whatever it is that you have to talk about. You know, it's strange. I started off talking about quantum physics. That's always going to be a big deal for me. But lately I've been pulled towards talking about loving one another. You know, getting the church back to just basic Christianity 101, where we love one another and we lift each other up, and we don't take every opportunity just because Facebook exists now. We don't take every opportunity to bash each other. And unfortunately, a lot of times that happens. So I've been pulled towards that. So it's another thing, just if you're thinking long term, it's always a good idea to not be the something guy or the something girl. I love quantum physics, but I don't want to be the quantum physics guy, and then that's the only thing that anybody knows me for, because then you're pigeonholed. It can really ruin some of your opportunities that you could have, and that's another reason I look up to people like Chuck Missler, because he's not a anything guy. You know, I mean, he's kind of everything. He's got stuff on quantum physics. He's talked about aliens. He's talked about the entire Bible. You know, Dr. Michael Heiser is another extremely big inspiration of mine because of that. Tom Horn is like that too. So it's good to not be any one person guy, but that can serve you well just starting off, like me did with the, you know, quantum physics stuff, because it was unique at the time. And if you're able to explain it to somebody in a way that they can understand, you know, the normal, like, 60, 70-year-old grandmother at home, if you can write it in a way that she can understand, you'll have an easier time finding your audience. Now, even if it, like I said before, even if it's something that has been covered, there's a way to make it fresh and unique with your own style and current, up-to-date information, because we're always learning things. You know, there's always new information, and a lot of the people that cover some of the subjects that's been covered over and over again, they might not always go to current events and new findings. For some reason, there's like this fear that, like, oh, if I change my mind on something, then I'll lose respect of my audience. And that's not true. I've changed my mind on a lot of stuff. And actually, I learned this from physics, because physicists, they'll change their mind based on new data. You know, we Christians should be like that too. If we learn something new, it's fine to change our mind, and it's fine to say, oh, well, there is an area where I didn't know as much about, but given some more research and prayer, now I know about this. And then your audience actually feels like they're growing with you, and that's good. That's how you build a community. That's what you really want, and it helps you, too. I'm comfortable growing with you guys. You know, I'm comfortable saying, you know,
You know, I said this in a book, you know, years ago, but now I'm not so sure. You know, I'm comfortable with that because, and this is why money cannot be the number one thing, because I don't worry if I'm going to lose book sales. Like, I don't worry if, like, oh, well, now that book is invalid and people won't buy it. You know, because worst case scenario, I update the book and then just re-release it. You know, I just do another edition. Actually, authors do that all the time. There's just usually not a big announcement with it unless it's a really, really big update. Actually, take your favorite book and you can look in the copyright page and see which edition it is. You know, first, second, third, fourth. So, like, Disclosure, I think, is on its sixth or seventh, and it'll probably have at least one more, you know. So that kind of stuff happens frequently. It's not that big of a deal. No one's put off by it. But what people are put off by is if you're not honest with them. Everybody's going to realize you're human, just like all of you realize I'm human. You know, I'm going to make some mistakes sometimes, sure. But I want you to be able to trust me that if I do make a mistake, that I'll own up to it. And I want you to be able to trust me enough that if you call me out on a mistake, that I can be mature enough to handle that and accept the reproof. You know, so that's really important too. So make sure whatever your message is, that it's something you can explain easily, simply, and something that doesn't require upfront trust from your audience. Because remember, you have to prove it to them, just like I have to prove it to you. Your audience should not be expected to take your word for anything. Because, you know, to them, you're another human being. You know, and that's fair. And same with the audience, you shouldn't take somebody's word for anything else. Now, there are times where people can gain trust and, you know, there's human relationships like that, so sure. But at the same time, you know, I always go into these thinking that, okay, if I have something, I've got to show you where it is, I've got to prove it, I got to cite my sources, and I got to make sure that it's the right information because that's what God would expect out of me. And even with all that, sometimes mistakes can happen. So when they do, you got to own up to them. So there's that. Now, what are some examples? I'm going to give you some examples. Give me one second here. I don't hear my son Adam screaming his head off anymore. I don't want to go and check, though, because I'm afraid the second I go in there, he's going to realize, oh, Dad's in the room. You know, he's just in a little pack and play thing. But So some examples. Now, I'll give examples just from my own stuff because you guys are probably already familiar with it. And it's just my own stuff. So, of course, I'm going to know it. I'm going to know it the best. You know, I wouldn't, you know, why would I try this with somebody else's? But so Unraveling the Multiverse, a book that I just released. And also, by the way, if any of these are appealing, again, joshbeckdisclosure.com, you can find them there. Official Disclosure right now has a really good deal. Officialdisclosure.com. I can't believe that Tom was able to maintain that domain for so long. He's held on to that website for like 10 years. He never sold it. And then he just said, hey, Derek, Josh, this would be good for your day there. Stand still. Let's put your stuff on there. But if you go on there, there's a really good deal where you get my other books. You get a whole bunch of stuff, $400 worth of materials for only like $40 or something, so it's a pretty good deal. But here's some examples of this. So Unraveling the Multiverse, a book I just put out. If I wanted to explain this to somebody really easily, because you got to think too, maybe you're going to be doing conferences and maybe you're only going to have a few seconds to talk to somebody. And it's not to sell them a book; it's to give them information. It's to help them decide if they want to buy a book or if they just want to ask you a question, because they're only going to have a few seconds of your time, you know, because usually there's a lot of people that would want to talk to you. So they might want to spend that time just asking you a question, or they might want to spend that time buying a book. So again, it's not to pitch a book. A little bit if they're already interested and they're like, what should I buy? Then, you know, you can help them out. But it's good to have really quick, concise descriptions for your materials. Also, this helps you get published if that's something that you want to do. It helps you get interviews if that's something you do, if you want to get on other people's show. You got to be able to explain exactly what it is in just a couple of lines or less. The less, the better. So my book, Unraveling the Multiverse, I would explain it as quantum physics explained simply using the Bible. That's it. That's all it is. Now, of course, the book itself is a lot more than that. I mean, it's a thick, you know, over 300-page book. But if somebody wants to know, if somebody's considering it for publication or for their radio show, you know, they're just going to want something like that. Now, what works about that is it's a unique topic that's not covered very much. And it's also explained really simply. It's quantum physics explained simply using the Bible. Now, you could add an extra line to ensure that it's not anything blasphemous. You could say through a biblical worldview or through a traditional Christian lens. You know, there's ways that you can word it so people aren't thinking that you're going to say that, you know, Jesus is just some quantum effect or something weird like that. So me and Derek Gilbert's book, The Day the Earth Stands Still, I would probably explain it as, you know, it's a book that shows how the Podesta WikiLeaks proves the modern official disclosure movement is an ancient supernatural effort and uses the Bible and science to show the UFO and alien abduction phenomena are not connected the way the world thinks. Now, that's probably the longest I would ever go, and of course the book is so much more than that, but that will tell your audience enough to know if they're going to be interested. Oh, UFOs, aliens, and it covers a topic that hasn't really been dealt with before? That's pretty interesting. Because, you know, UFOs and aliens, that's not a super unique topic. There's been a lot written about that. But from that perspective, not even from a Christian perspective, because a lot has been written from a Christian perspective, but from the perspective of current events, Podesta WikiLeaks, the official disclosure movement, and actually showing that that's not a modern effort, it's an ancient effort, well, that is unique. You know, now you might be able to hook somebody's attention. So again, it's not a super unique topic, but it's written in a completely unique way. And so that book has done really well because of that. My other book that I wrote with Tom Horn, Abaddon Ascending, you know, I would probably explain it as how the effort of opening portals has shaped history and how CERN could fit into Bible prophecy. So, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, if I was going to add anything to that, I might say, you know, in a scientific and non-conspiratorial way. Now, of course, it is sort of conspiratorial, but the reason that I would phrase it like that, if I was going to add anything, is because there's a lot of blogs that people are familiar with where they'll say some crazy thing about CERN that's not even real, or the LHC. One just happened the other day about how CERN, it didn't say the LHC, it said CERN, so the organization that runs the LHC, but they, you know, they said CERN blew up, basically. There was a massive explosion, and you know what, totally fake news, it's not real. And they misquoted a whole bunch of stuff. They didn't know, the writer of the article didn't know the difference between CERN and the LHC. There was just a lot of mistakes. I actually recently did a video on that on this channel. Most of you have probably seen it, but if you haven't had a chance, you can go back and find it. Me and Christina, my wife, did that one together. The only reason that I would add that, if I added anything, is to convince the audience this is not your normal conspiratorial deal. This is not, you know, CERN is evil and everything they do is wrong and here's how they're altering time and Mandela effect, and it's not any of that kind of stuff. It's, no, here's the actual science that surprisingly coincides with Bible prophecy. And even more than that, here's how the average Christian can know exactly how the LHC works. And I actually guarantee that in throughout the book, as I say, and I've done this in interviews, as I say, if you're a Christian, you don't have to have a science background. After you read this book, you're going to understand how the Large Hadron Collider works. You're going to know what hadron means. You're going to know what is actually happening there. Because scientists of the world will tell you that you're too stupid to understand it. No, you're not. You are not. All they're doing, they are looking at the fundamental, they're looking at reality in its smallest form. That is all they're doing. And if we believe that God created everything, of course he would want us to appreciate that. Of course he would want to use that as a way for us to get closer to him. So of course he would make, it is very complex, you know, in a lot of different areas, but the basic ideas are really simple and anybody can understand them. So in the book you get both. You get the broad strokes, but you also get the fine detail. So, you know, if I had time to explain all that, I would. But if I was only going to say one sentence, then it would just be how the effort of opening portals has shaped history, because it has, and how CERN could fit into Bible prophecy. I'd probably pitch it that way. Now I have an audio disc called The Coming Technocalypse. And the way that I would explain that one in just one sentence is, I would say it's an audio series with me, Doug, and Joe Hagman. See if you collaborate with people, that can help you too, because other people who might be reputable or might have a good namesake, if you're connected with that, they can help give you some credibility. So I would say like an audio series with me, Doug, and Joe Hagman, of the Hagman and Hagman Report, based on the information contained in Abaddon Ascending. So that way, if they want more information, they could just look and see what Abaddon Ascending is about. Same with, I've got a DVD called The Best of Into the Multiverse, which I would just, it's an actual DVD, but the way I would tell somebody if they wanted to know what it was is, I would say, well, Into the Multiverse is a show based on the book Unraveling the Multiverse that Christina and I, my wife and I, host, detailing all areas of the weird world of quantum physics in an easy and fun format. I'd probably pitch it something like that. This is the reason that physicist Michio Kaku is so popular, because he's excited about what he does, he makes it fun, and he makes it understandable. It's fun. When you listen to him, it's almost like he's talking to like a six-year-old, but we as laymen, people like me, people like you, by the way, I'm totally a layman, but it's exciting to us because it opens up this whole new world of possibilities. So you can do that in whatever your field is, because whatever your niche is, chances are people in the broader sense of Christianity, chances are they're not going to know. They're really, even if Nephilim is your deal, which, in our groups has been saturated, but there's still room there, too. There's a lot of room there. And this actually brings me to competition. Is competition a good thing? I would submit to you that yes. Competition, if done in the way it was intended, which is out of love and out of benefit for everybody, even the person you're competing with, then yes, competition is a good thing. So competing does not mean, at least it shouldn't to us Christians, it doesn't mean that you bust somebody else down so you can get ahead. Healthy competition is actually seeing what someone else is doing right and adopting their methods, which is not the same as copying their material or copying their work. You don't want to do that because you'll be found out immediately. People will see through that. But you adopt the methods in order to help you be more effective. So you see what works, and you learn from other people's failures too, so you don't have to fail yourself. Now, you don't want to cause a failure in someone else. You don't want to do that. Again, you don't want to bust someone else down. But there have been a lot of failures I've made. Well, I even talked about one in this video already, that when I first sat down to write a book, I just sat down without any plan and I wrote a book. And the first draft was a failure. The first release, the first publication, I would regard as a failure. So learn from my mistake. Learn from my failure. Go into writing and have a plan, have an outline, have a whole deal. And Digital Christianity is going to talk about how to do all that. But healthy competition is not, it's learning from other people's mistakes, not causing them. And it's adopting their methods, not copying their material, adopting their methods that actually do work. So I do this in video editing a lot. When I look at really successful shows, for those who don't know, I edit all the Skywatch TV episodes. So if you've watched Skywatch TV for the past, 2.5 years or so, I think the very first episode that I worked on was when Chuck Missler, the last time, wow, yeah. The first time Chuck Missler was on, when I moved there, the recording was already done, but his episode on iJesus on Skywatch TV, that was what I was trained on editing that episode. So that was the first one that I technically did. But since then, I edit all of them now. I edit all those. I edit all of Into the Multiverse, and I edit all Chalk Talks. What I do in my editing is I try to watch other shows that are really popular, and I try to see what they do in their editing and why it works so well. So even like really popular documentaries, or even shows like Ancient Aliens, like you don't even have to, it doesn't have to be only like Chris, because, with a show like Ancient Aliens, obviously we're not taking their material, and again, that's why you don't copy the material, but just the editing methods. When to cut to when to cut to a person talking, and when to cut to B-roll of a picture, or filming of Angkor Wat or whatever they're talking about. you know, the timing of all that. You can learn a lot by paying attention to that if film editing is your thing. So I'm competitive there. It's good to be competitive in that way. Now, it doesn't mean that I want to, you know, I'll look at other Christian television shows that do really well, and I don't want to name any, but, you know, I'll look at others that do really well, and I'll see what they do, and then I'll try to implement that for Skywatch. Now, as far as I know, and some of the guys I know and some of them I don't, but as far as I know, no one else is really doing that. A lot of Christian ministry, especially television ministry, a lot of it is they got their own way of doing things and they're going to do it that way, and that's just how it's going to be. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, Tom, yeah, I got a lot of inspiration from him because he's sort of, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but you know, I'll just say what my attitude is, and then I sort of got the freedom to explore that, is I want to learn what other Christian ministries do right when it comes to, like, video editing or whatever, or the way they do their shots, you know, with the cameras, and the way they do their audio. I want to see what works, and I want to adopt that, and then I want to see what doesn't work, and I want to improve on that. And I really do believe it's because of that attitude, because Tom has that type of attitude, too. And it's not that we ever would ever want to bust out any other Christian ministry. We don't. It's just we want to learn as much as we can. We want to serve the best we can by seeing how other people serve. I think that's a good way to put it. But I think that, and sure, I'm biased because I work there, but I really do believe, and I've gone through mental checks to see, do I just believe this because I work there, but I really do believe that Skywatch TV has the best produced, and really even just the best content, but the best produced material in all of Christian television. And I watch this stuff all the time. Now, that's subjective. That's my own opinion. People could disagree with me, and that's subjective, and that's fine. But I personally strive to make Skywatch the best that it can be. That's why, you know, I've guest hosted a couple of times, and I'm always trying to make my skills as an interviewer as good as they can be. So I'll learn from people like Derek, you know, of course, because he's the host. Hey, well, there you go. There's a good example. I'm competitive with Derek. It doesn't mean I want him to fail. I would never want him to fail. I love him to death. I mean, he's great. But I want to see what works with what he does, and then I want to adopt that so I can be as good, you know. It's almost like a mentorship kind of deal, but you can, if you're competitive, you can do that with a lot of different people, but they don't even have to really know about it, you know, so they're not burdened with the task of having to guide you through life or teach you about everything that they know. You just pick up, you ask questions. So, I mean, I'm competitive with everybody I work with, and I would hope that they're competitive with me. I want them to be competitive with me. You know, I mentioned Sam before, who took over a sharpening report. I told him, when he took it over, I talked to him on the phone. I said, Sam, if you're going to do sharpening report, I really want you to compete with me. And I explained to him what that meant. You know, I was like, I don't mean that I want you doing any, like, dirty tricks or anything to bust me down, because that's not what it is. And I think he already knew what I was talking about anyway. But I said, I want you to learn from whatever mistakes I made. Go back, watch the archive videos, see what I did that worked and see what didn't work. And I want you to improve on it. And I want you to do better with the sharpening report than I did. That's what I expect. And I really think he's done that already, and it hasn't even been a full year yet, but I really think he's already done that. And he even told me, don't worry, I'm coming for you, you know. So, but I love him for that. So he's competing with me, and I want him to do that, because here's the deal. If he competes with me and then he finds out a better way to do something, then I can compete with him. I can learn that better way, and then I can implement it into my own stuff. And then maybe I improve on it more. And then maybe he's competitive again. And so, you know, you see, if everybody does this, if every Christian would do this, even if it's just in our own witnessing or the way that we try to tell people about the gospel, if we all learn our better ways to do it and then we're competitive in a healthy way about it out of love, we would just get better and better and better, and we would all grow. You know, that's what I want. So healthy competition, just a quick recap, it's seeing what someone is doing right, adopting their methods, not copying their material. That's not what we're talking about, in order to help you be more effective. And again, if everyone did this, true competition would result in everyone getting ahead, everyone learning from one another, and no one being worse off for it. Everyone would only be better for it. The only people that wouldn't be better off are the people that choose to not compete, you know, and then they would plateau. And they would kind of stay stagnant and you know, and whatever. I mean, that there's nothing really wrong with that. But just my personality type, I want it cannot come from a place of wanting to be the best. Unless it's I want to win more souls to the kingdom, not for my glory, but for Jesus' glory. You know, it's got to come from a place of I want to learn the best way to do things so other people can adopt that. Other people can use that, and then when they improve, I can learn from that. It's got to come from a place like that, otherwise the whole thing falls apart and it doesn't work, and then you get the world's version of competition. You get the world's version of cheating and busting people down, and you know, the best person doesn't always win. Sometimes it's just the sneakiest person, and you know, that's we don't want that. We have no place, we have no time for that in the church. We got to get real about this stuff. So competition has got to be handled humbly, out of love for God first, but also the brothers and sisters that you're learning from. You got to love them too. Like I said before, I'm competitive with Derek. I hope he's competitive with me, but it's out of love for him and it's out of respect for him because I've got a lot to learn from him. I don't know if he's got so much to learn from me, but I've got a lot to learn from him. And if... Well, here's an example. You know, he and I joke about it. It's probably okay. It's probably fine. He and I kind of joke about Sci Friday and Multiverse. So Sci Friday, that's a show that's like a Skywatch show that he does, and then Into the Multiverse is a Skywatch show that I do. He's been doing Sci Friday longer than I have, but I've been doing it in a shorter amount of time, and I have more subscribers. Now, that's not a dig on Derek. It has nothing to do... It's just so not. The only reason I have more subscribers is because I used everything that works for him. And then I really thought long and hard, what could take this to the next level? And you know, a lot of it is just format of the show. So on Sci Friday, a lot of the reason that people watch it is because they love Derek and Sheridan. There's no reason not to. So they don't have a whole lot of guests, which is fine. You know, they do it sometimes, but it's just not really the main format of the show is it's Derek and Sheridan, and that's great. They should do that. It's working well for their audience. Into the Multiverse, one of my goals was I want to. Reach out to as many people as I can. And I'm not saying that's not the case for Derek and Sharon, but because of that, I realized, you know, if I have on a lot of guests, you know, even guests who may not be Christians, then I might get more subscribers and it might help spread the message more. Now, listen, I'm not saying that Derek and Sharon should do that. They're doing exactly what God is calling them to do, and I think that what God has given them for that show works perfectly exactly for what that is. There might be areas that they want to, I mean, I don't know, you know, because it's not my show. There might be areas that they may want to improve. Actually, here we go. They didn't want to use the headsets. They wanted to use lav mics. They wanted to be competitive with the audio quality and things like that and the ease of using a lav over a headset mic. So in that regard, they were competitive. I still use a headset mic. And they use a lav. They're doing something that's a lot easier and in a lot of ways better than what I'm doing. So in that way, they competed with me and with Skywatch, and I think they've gained some benefit from that. So there's one way. Now one way where I compete with them is I have more guests on. So it's all about what your end goal is. And I think, you know, for Into the Multiverse, it's to get the younger crowd as much as I can, which means I got to get a lot of subscribers, because the younger generation, millennials, they're not going to watch anything if they see, oh, it only has 10,000. Yeah, this video only has 100 views. Shoot, I don't even watch anything if it's got that low of views. I tend not to. But if I see something that's got like 1 million views and then it's really interesting, it's got a good screen cap and a really engaging title, it's just a generational thing. For my generation, that's what appeals. So you got to find out who your audience is and how to best compete with others to learn how to, you know, engage that audience better. So that's all it is. There's nothing wrong with competing. I would want all of you, actually, if anybody's thinking about getting into fringe Christian ministry, I would want you to compete with me, and I am more than happy to help you do that. I'll answer questions, especially if you message me on Steemit. I'm happy to do it. So competition should not feed the ego. That's a big deal. If you're going to be competitive, it cannot be because you want to be better than someone else. It has to be because people need to be served, and you want to serve somebody to the best of your ability. And the way that you're going to realize what your ability is by learning from others. It's an iron sharpening iron kind of deal. So it should aid in fulfilling God's purposes. So in short, you know, don't be a jerk about it. You know, while I'm competitive with, I think, every coworker I have, I am never a jerk about it. I don't rub anything in their face. Now, you know, me and Derek and Cheryl will joke around a lot, but there's not actually any hard feelings around any of that. You know, it's all just, you know, we're joking around, having fun because we love each other. I love it when they do well. They love it when I do well, and then we learn from each other and we see what works. So that's how it's got to be. You don't want to be a jerk about it. You don't want to rub it in other people's face, because it is not a competition by the world standards. The world standards, competition means one guy is the best and all the rest of the people are terrible. In Christianity, in Christian ministry especially, it should be like, okay, there's some people that are better at this one thing, and if God's calling me to do that, I need to learn from them, and I need to learn what they're doing, and then maybe, once I know that, maybe I can improve, and then they could benefit more too. So we need to have that mindset, because too many people have a worldly mindset of competition where if you challenge anything, then they get upset, and, you know, that might happen. You might challenge somebody that somebody says, or an idea that somebody has, and even if it's not meant in a personal way, they might get a little agitated. So you got to know how to handle that. And I'll talk about that in this book too. Not so much here, because this video is already really long. So, and speaking of which, let's wrap it up. So, what are the main takeaways? A lot of these are going to seem self-explanatory, but I think it bears mentioning. Do it for God, not yourself. Okay. God's got to be number one. Do it in order to win souls, not to make money. It's fine to make money. It's fine to use that as a tool so you can win more souls or whatever. But your main focus has got to be to win souls. It can't be to make money, because if you're getting into this thinking you're going to be rich, you're going to be disappointed. Be incredibly responsible with the money that you do get, with the money that you do earn, whether through book sales or donations or whatever, especially if it's from donations. And use it to further God's purpose for your life. You know, win souls, provide for your family, provide for yourself even. Be really responsible and take that very seriously, especially with donations. Be yourself, but always be open to reproof. There's going to be some people that will reproof you. Some people will be jerks about it, but they still might be right. Some people will just be jerks and they're not right and just ignore them. But even, like I said before in the video, even if you get a lot of people who are jerks about it, but they're saying the same thing, then it might be something you might want to look at. But especially if somebody's being respectful and they're just saying, like, here's a way you can improve. Like, I've gotten, I'm just going to bare my soul and be honest with you guys. There are some things I can't improve on. For example, I got a lot of trolls commenting about my teeth. They are what they are. Can't really do much about that. But now I do get probably an equal amount of trolls who just want to be mean, and then an equal amount of people who are genuine telling me that I can work on the way that I speak, because I stutter and I stop a lot, and a lot of that has to do with stuff in my childhood. But a lot of people are saying it, and even though a lot of trolls have commented on that, there have also been a lot of just people who want to help that have commented on it too. Point being, no matter how it's framed, I get the same type of comment about that. So that's something I'm actively trying to work on. So to those people who have commented, thank you. And I'm not doing so good at it at this moment, but it's something that I am working on, and I'm taking steps to get better with that. It is a big hurdle for me because it is stemmed in a lot of stuff I dealt with that I don't want to get into in this video, but it's stemmed in a lot of stuff that happened when I was a kid, stuff I didn't have any control over, just really bad stuff. And it is a big hurdle, but I do appreciate people's patience with it because, again, I want to provide you the best content possible. And that if I'm going to be a public speaker and if I'm going to be doing videos, then you're absolutely right. It really doesn't, at that point, it doesn't matter the reason why it happened. It just matters that it gets corrected. So, yes, so I accept that reproof. And now, again, that's not a moral reproof. It's not a theological thing. It's just a small, simple thing that I can work on that I think will help a lot. So I agree with those people who have said so. Now, there have been times like when my first edition of Disclosure came out that people reproved my theology because some of it was a little wonky. Again, it was very early on. And at the time, you know, God kind of had to bring me through a process of developing a thick skin because at the time I took it really personally. I didn't really lash out at anyone online or anything like that, but just inside, I took it personally. I don't anymore. You know, God's got me out of that. Now it's actually because when somebody's actually being honest and respectful, it's difficult for a respectful person to reprove someone else, one of their friends or a speaker that they like. So I appreciate that. So always be open to reproof. People will actually respect you more if you are, and you can better serve them if you're in a constant state of learning, if you're in a constant state of upgrading. What's the next step? How can I be a better speaker or just a better person all around? It's good to be in a constant state of learning. Now, you want to have a servant's heart, not a prideful attitude. It's so easy to fall into pride. And what the trickiest thing about it is the enemy will work on you in a way that makes you think it's not pride. The enemy will make you think that you're actually serving God because you're defending him or you're defending a certain thing. But it's really easy to fall into pride with all that stuff. So you got to be really careful. Have a servant's heart. We need more of that in our world. Where are all the servants? Have a servant's heart if you're going to be in Christian ministry, especially if you're on TV, especially if you're writing books, because it's really easy to get self-absorbed, and you've got to resist that temptation, and it's going to happen. I don't care how good of a person somebody wants to think they are, it is going to happen. I wrestle with this every day. Any human being would. You've got to be in a constant state of spirit leading the flesh. You can't fall into the temptation of, being famous or being self-indulgent about the audience that you have. You got to be good to your audience, okay? Now realize, again, no one owes you anything, but you owe everything to God. You owe everything to Him. No one owes you a thing. No one owes you. No one has to listen to you. No one has to help you. No one owes you any of that. But anything that you do get, you owe everything to God. Because when you were nothing, when you were at your worst, Christ died for you. He died for me. He died for all of us. So you owe Him everything. And this is why we cannot get self-indulgent about it. We cannot get prideful. We can't get egotistical. It's got to point back to Jesus. It just has to. And if that's a temptation that's too great for you, then take some time before you make a step into ministry. Take some time alone with Jesus. Sometimes we all need our time in the wilderness. Sometimes we all need our time alone with Jesus to just figure things out. There's nothing wrong with that. I had my time like that, and I even went through a big New Age phase. but even after coming out of that, I still needed a time in the wilderness. Now, not everyone's going to need that, but some of you will, and there's nothing wrong with that. So it's perfectly fine to wait. But it will be tempting not to, because if you're anything like me, once you grab hold of something, you're going to want to go for it full force. Sometimes it's okay to just kind of put on the brakes, spend some time with God, and get things straight first. Now, love others more than yourself. That kind of goes with the ego thing. Be a solution, don't be a problem. You know, be a solution to everybody's problem. Everybody wants to argue online. They want to have 600 comment threads on Facebook arguing, and nothing gets solved. Here's a good piece of advice. I actually heard this, and I don't think he came up with it, but the first time I heard it was from Wes Fall, Justin Fall's brother. He said in a Chalk Talk episode, no one wins in a debate. It's not the point of a debate. You know, no one wins in a debate. The reason for a debate is not one person wins over the other. It's who. Here are two opposing points of view, and here are two experts in that field, and here are their best laid arguments. And then the audience gets to decide personally what they want to believe in, what's more reasonable. So think about it like that. When it comes, if somebody's coming against you online, most times you can just block them and just who cares. If somebody has a legitimate disagreement, and even if they come up to you personally, you know, you can respond reasonably and logically and say, well, here's why I believe the thing that I believe in. You know, here's why. What do you got? You know, I'm interested because maybe I'm wrong. What led you to your beliefs that are so different from mine? And then that opens a dialogue. Now, some people will just take it personally. And if you care to, most times if it's just a stranger, you can say, well, you know, I appreciated it. I just don't know if this is a conversation I'm ready to have right now. And, you know, if they're getting hostile about it. Now, if it's somebody who's like a close friend, then you could ask them, well, you know, we may disagree, but why is that personally offensive to you? You know, I know you disagree with me, and I'm not offended by it at all. You know, I think that's great. Why is it personally offensive to you? So you know, and then you can kind of get more at the heart of the matter. Most of the times, if somebody's getting uppity about something, it's not because of the disagreement. It's about some other flaw that they might have, and you can actually help them. But a lot of times that's got to be with somebody who's already a close friend. If you try to do that with a stranger, most times they'll get defensive and they won't want to hear anything. So you got to let the Holy Spirit lead in that kind of stuff. Now, take very seriously the fact that you likely are the only source of truth that many people online will have. Think about what online is. Think about what Facebook is, YouTube comments. Oh, my God. If you're wondering, search through some of mine. I've got a really good I think all of my audience. I think the negative comments that I get are not from my audience. I think they're from trolls who have nothing better to do than to, you know, just leave a bad comment or whatever. But my audience, you guys are amazing. You're awesome, and I love you to death. But if you scroll through my comments, you'll see a lot of anonymous people that leave a lot of nasty, negative stuff. A lot of times I'll just leave it up unless it's something just really bad where I have to delete it because I'm thinking my daughter might read this someday or something, you know. Most of it, probably a good 90% of it, I just leave up. And it's because of things like this. Because go through and look, because that's what you're going to have to deal with. You won't really have to deal with it personally, like, okay, I've done a bunch of conferences. I've never had anybody so far that's come up to me and spoken to me the way that some people will do in YouTube comments. All right, so, you know, keep that in mind. So don't take the comments to heart. You know, you got to develop like a tough skin with that stuff. But also realize that even for the trolls, even if they're not willing to accept it, but for a lot of people seeking answers or seeking some information, you might be the only ray of light that they have in their entire lives. They may be in a place where every Christian has beaten them down, every Christian has been super judgmental, every Christian has done everything they can to make them feel wrong and inferior and you know, judging them and all that. And I'm sure a lot of you, I can certainly relate to that, and I'm sure a lot of you can too. So don't be that guy. Be the ray of light. Be the one ray of light that they have in their lives. That doesn't mean that you have to tolerate sin, and it doesn't mean that you have to compromise your values or your beliefs. But you can spread the truth in a loving way that people will accept, and it's worth it to take the time to learn how to do that. I'm still learning myself, but if you take the time to learn it, you'll get, I'm getting further with it than I ever have before in my life. So it's worth the time. And the main takeaway above all else, this is the most important message of the whole thing, is you got to put Jesus above everything else. Jesus comes first. You don't. Not even your audience does, really. In the physical world, yeah, your audience needs to come. Well, really, I mean, maybe your kids and family, but you're, you know, just in the Christian ministry field, you know, your audience needs to come first. But in a broad scope, everything included, Jesus needs to come first. And if you do that, you will do well. Okay, so if people want to find me, I'm on Skywatch TV, Into the Multiverse, Chalk Talk. You can go to skywatchtv.com. Make sure you go to joshpeckdisclosure.com. That is the central hub for everything that I do. You can go there and you can get a bunch of free content that I just know you're going to love, I hope. You'll get a bunch of free content. And if you're able, click on that donate button. Help me out. Help the community out. Help the community out. Help yourself out. I'm not going to use words like tithes or seed offerings or love offerings or whatever. I'm not going to do any of that. All it is it's a contribution that will help this channel and it will help this community as a whole. That's exactly what it is. So if you can click on the donate button, help me out. That would be great. Help yourself out. Help the community. If you can't donate money, that is perfectly fine. You can donate your time because you've had the time to watch this video. So surely you've got another 5 seconds where you can click the share button and share this on social media. That also is incredibly helpful, and it does do a lot. Tell people to subscribe to this channel. Tell people about the amazing community of believers that's within this channel. Tell people about me if it helps, but you know, tell people about the people on this channel. And I'm putting myself last in all of that because you guys, the audience of Josh Peck Disclosure, you guys are amazing, and I just love you all to death. So the website is youtube.com/Josh Peck Disclosure for YouTube. You can also find me youtube.com/IntoTheMultiverse on Twitter. I'm @JPDisclosure. Steemit.com/@Josh Peck. It's important because I think that things like Steemit will be the future of social media. You can email me personally at jpeck@skywatchtv.com, and I'm also on Facebook. Feel free to friend request me, leave a comment, or you can even private message me. That's fine too. All that being said, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for sticking through all of the issues with the hotel and the kids and the bathroom and, you know, just everything. You guys are phenomenal, and I love you all to death. Thank you so much. All that being said, take care, and God bless.